From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell him Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 168 of Little Brother for the 25th of January, 2026. Stay tuned. Little Brother's right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com, or you can post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started! In Iran, in response to anti-government protests, and in an attempt to choke off the ability for those protests to organize, there has been a stretch of time when the internet has been cut off to the entire country. No problem, right? Just use satellite internet? Starlink to the rescue. Well, it turns out it might not be as simple as all that. Some reporting from Iran is suggesting that jamming GPS has the additional effect of preventing Starlink from working. The working hypothesis is that this is due to the timing needing to be accurate in order for the terminal to locate the satellites, in turn due to the low Earth orbit that these satellites use to reduce the very high latency, often around a third of a second, that would have been associated with geostationary satellites. The downside is that the satellites are not in a single fixed position in the sky, so the ability to locate and aim a signal at them becomes critical. In the UK, the Online Safety Act has been amended, and it now requires preemptive scanning of all digital communications. This not only requires machines to make a moral judgment that they are not equipped to make, but it also means that there are no longer any private communications, period. Probably not a surprise, but Immigration and Customs Enforcement here in the U.S., ICE in other words, have been using their recently bolstered budget to go on a surveillance shopping spree, according to the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Even before they had this increased budget, they had scanned 1 in 3 driver's license photos, had access to 3 out of 4 driver's license data, and tracked movements in home cities of about 75% of the population, so this is probably going to fill in the rest of it. Data brokers have, of course, played a big role in this. The EFF has some resources on how to protect yourself, and I'll include a link to that in the program notes. Some of you may remember the website haveibeenpwned.com, which will allow you to enter an email address and it will return a result that tells you if any records from various known pwns were likely to have your passwords in them. Of course, it raises the concern about whether or not it was itself a phishing expedition to collect email addresses, but we'll set that aside for a second because I really just wanted to draw a line from that to a similar website that's called Have I Been Flocked. If you go to haveibeenflocked.com, you can enter your license plate from your car, and it will tell you whether or not your plate number has been pulled up in any manner of recent information request that the site owners have been able to pry loose from law enforcement agencies via Freedom of Information requests. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Thank you. Vervet monkeys are native to southern and east Africa. They are not native to St. Louis, Missouri. And yet, that's where a bunch of them are running around loose last week. Nobody knows whose monkeys they are, and since owning them in that area isn't legal, it's not likely that the owner is going to be coming forth. I told you that so I could tell you how the roundup effort's going. It seems a number of folks thought it would be a really cool idea to post claims to social media that they had captured one or more of the monkeys. That would be wonderful, except that the claims are backed up by AI-generated pictures, in other words, fakes, complicating the effort to rein in the monkeys. Anything for a click, I guess. A couple of weeks ago in Las Vegas, the CES happened. Now, I would normally have called that the Consumer Electronics Show, but officially, it no longer goes by that name. Officially, it is just called CES, for some opaque reason that marketing departments continue to deploy. But it is a trade show where major corporations show off their shiny new consumer electronics. So let's just use lowercase letters when calling it a consumer electronics show, I guess. But I digress, which is something I'm very good at. I mentioned the CES here in the AI Roundup because this year's worst in show, according to the Associated Press, which, by the way, has not officially ditched its name for its initials, the worst in show featured a number of enhancements made to products using AI. Enhancements that nobody actually asked for. Now, the Associated Press were very clear to point out that the worst in show had no affiliation with the show itself, but was awarded by some independent judges who are just commentators, much like I am. But, have you ever wanted to have a conversation with your refrigerator? Samsung seems to think that's a good idea. They now make one that's AI-enabled, and among other things, it'll happily advertise products to you. There's the rub. Will happily advertise products to you when you are running low on something because, of course, enchantification must be part of the formula. You can also have a conversation with your coffee maker or your e-bike, and this so-called AI soulmate that is supposed to provide companionship for those working from home. Now, for the record, I've had work from home jobs. A good team dynamic is the way to make it work. Anything else is a gimmick. So, that's the reason why we're building all of these power and water guzzling AI data centers. This is what we are building them to support. Well, that leads us to the last part of this fortnight's AI roundup. PwC, a UK-based professional services network once known by the names of its founders Price, Waterhouse, Coopers, and who have, for some reason unknown to me, decided that Mr. Waterhouse only warrants a lowercase w in their branding, have recently performed a survey in which they polled CEOs about AI, and they got just over 4,400 responses, and the overwhelming response seems to be that AI is not delivering any financial returns. Only 30% said otherwise. But don't worry, the solution that the majority seem to be leaning into is to double down and spend more on it. I mean, that's good, right? We are all enjoying the high prices of RAM and the scarcity of GPUs and such, right? Has anyone else noticed the demand driving up the price of electricity? I have. All that so we can have fucking talking refrigerators. I don't know if any of you know the comedy sci-fi series Red Dwarf, but this all makes me think of Talkie Toaster, I'll include a link to a short clip on YouTube in the program notes that'll give you all a feel for why. You might remember me talking about the Marion County record. Quick recap if you don't. Back in August of 2023, a small town newspaper and some of its staff, including a reporter, the editor, and the owners, were raided by the county sheriff in an alarming violation of the constitutional right to a free press. One of the owners actually died of a heart attack in all of this nonsense. Well, some people say that history repeats itself. Others say that it doesn't really repeat, but it rhymes. Which brings us to a newspaper at the other end of the prominence scale, The Washington Post. On Wednesday the 14th, in an echo of what happened in Kansas, a much larger law enforcement agency, none other than the FBI, or I guess they are known by their full name, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, I'm not sure, raided the home of Washington Post reporter Hannah Nathanson. According to an announcement by Attorney General Pam Bondi, the raid was conducted by the Bureau in conjunction with the Department of Justice at the request of the Pentagon. This is alarming. In the raid, agents seized Nathanson's electronic devices, essentially robbing her of her work. The warrant for the raid identified the investigation of the subject to be Aurelio Perez Lugones, who was a system administrator with top secret clearance. The accusation is that he took home classified intelligence reports. Let that marinate for a second. Don't you think it's funny how that type of control on classified documents didn't apply to civilian Donald Trump between terms? Anyway, the problem here is this. By raiding a reporter, there is now a chilling effect on legitimate free speech. Journalists are supposed to be protected. It is my opinion that this raid and the associated investigation were intended, or at least applied, as a tool of intimidation. It is designed to make reporters pause before acting on a story, and to make sources think twice before talking to journalists. There is nothing more un-American than this. So let's talk about your personal OPSEC. The Cybersecurity and Information Security Agency, better known as CISA, has some guidance available on how to secure your personal communications. And while it is a reiteration, I think it's a good one. So, despite the fact that CISA and ICE are immediate sibling agencies, both being under the Department of Homeland Security, while one is actively invading, the other is helping us to avoid that invasion. Your tax dollars at work, ladies and gentlemen. So let's go over the basics here. Stop using the default messaging app on your phone if you can. If you can, dig through your settings and set up end-to-end encryption where possible. Delete any conversations that you no longer need. Keep it out of their hands, y'all. Some folks have chosen to use a third-party messaging app such as Signal, WhatsApp, Telegram, or others, and unfortunately there is a bit of market fragmentation here, but if I were to recommend one, it would be Signal, on the grounds that it is not operated for profit, it is open source, and it thereby avoids enshittification. And because they keep so little data accessible that any time they've been subpoenaed, the returns that they have sent back in response to subpoenas have been absolutely laughably useless, as I have shown before. I recommend that you set up disappearing messages and that you also limit the data retention locally. Keep in mind that if your phone gets compromised, so do all of the discussions that you belong to. Now, you could ask why this is important. The answer is that you want to keep control over your encryption. The keys need to be stored where you and only you have access to them, and the plain text messages need to be stored in a way that they are kept out of the wrong hands. Let me give you an example of why the keys are important. Microsoft has a full disk encryption system for Windows PCs. It's called BitLocker. The fact that it's pretty transparent to use is actually quite nice, and that is one of the few times you will hear me throw a compliment to Microsoft. They take advantage of the Trusted Platform module. We're talking about that very same TPM that has kept you from updating your not-that-old PC to Windows 11 to handle your encryption keys for you, and you don't have to worry about it. Or do you? Well, it seems like Microsoft somehow comes into possession of these keys, which totally misses the point of the TPM. They come into possession in those keys in exactly the same way that Signal doesn't. First off, you shouldn't trust Microsoft. Not specifically them, but you know they're the subject of my example. But let's just say for the sake of the argument that you do trust them. Let's just assume that they are legitimately acting in good faith. Let's just say that they legitimately have your best interests at heart. They don't. Let's be clear about that. But let's just say for a second that they do. So what happens when they get a subpoena? Well, the answer is obvious. They are legally bound by it, and they will give up your data. And because they have your keys, they can and must legally give up full access to it. This is not hypothetical. The reason I've used Microsoft as an example is that they have just turned over the BitLocker keys to the FBI. The way to avoid this is to use open source software such as Linux. I don't expect you to fully review the source code, but rather to believe that there is somebody that is reviewing it and has reviewed it, and that if somebody were stashing keys to Lux someplace, Lux being the Linux counterpart to BitLocker, that somebody would notice this. Oh, and it also runs on hardware that you can't upgrade to Windows 11. Just saying. As usual, we will end the show with the fail of the fortnight. Can you hear me now? If you use Verizon Wireless, there's a possibility that on Wednesday the 14th, you couldn't. Verizon have not said much about why the network went out. However, the outward appearance of things is that their 5G standalone core went out. Now, 5G networks have two techniques that they might be configured to use. One is called standalone, or SA for short. The other is non-standalone, which has the unfortunate acronym of NSA. NSA is a transitional technology that enables support for older 4G devices on the same infrastructure, hence it does not stand alone. While 5G SA stands, well, alone, and serves just 5G devices. The outward appearance is that a software update was attempted and that it didn't go correctly. Again, this is all speculation since Verizon are not talking to the subject. Some have speculated that the update went wrong because of technical staff being unfamiliar with the newer infrastructure. Recent layoffs at Verizon have reduced the workforce by about 13,000, which may also be related to the problem. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fongaboo and the Helix Foundation for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 Group. Special thanks to Azriel, Thriller at Play, Julie Bernstein, and Fongaboo for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our fail of the Fortnite music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker, and our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast, or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com or post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next time when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Episode 169 will drop on February 15th. Stay safe and be well. That Starlink needs in order to be accurate to... In turn, due to the low path... And while it is a reiteration...